My name is Tom Cohn. I'm a playwright and librettist and producer of concerts and producer of an opera festival and a producer of Song Room. I was former playwright in residence at the Stratford Shakespeare Festival. I've had many plays in the United States, England, Australia, and Canada. And I'm currently working on a new play and in the process of working on new opera with Edward Topp. I've written 4 operas and 17 stage plays and 30 radio plays. And I also have taught, and I've been writer in residence at the Capilano University, the Creative Writing Department. My second play, called Cubistique, C-U-B-I-S-T-I-Q-U-E, is a play that was set with 2 characters and a pianist. And I used a suttee. This was back in 1974. And I got hooked. At the same time, I was listening to new music, and I had already produced a new music concert. And the new music that I was hearing was beginning to say more about the world that I was living in than a lot of the theater that I was seeing. I then wrote a play called Herringbone that also had a pianist and some songs that evolved into a full-length work, and that eventually was it's just finished an American tour, but back 30 years ago it was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize, coming out of Chicago and then ending up in New York. Then when I moved back to Vancouver in 1990, I met David McIntyre, who said the Vancouver Opera, who's never done an opera before, wants to do one with us. And then I wrote my first opera with him that was premiered in 94 at the VOA. And then I did another one with Peter Hannon for Vancouver New Music in 97 called The Gang, an electroacoustic, really, really interesting opera. And then I did one with Leslie Ueda to open Festival Vancouver, to inaugurate Festival Vancouver in 2000, called Game Misconduct, set in a hockey arena. But all my plays from then on have had music. It's remarkable that when I look back at it. And then there was Love Thy Neighbor, and the last one was Love Thy Neighbor with Edward Topp. It's incredibly special when the right words are sung, when the right collaboration with a composer, it's so unique and so special. It's so unique and so important in many ways that the lure and the gravitational pull is just too much for me. I absolutely adore it. But to hear a good singer sing your work that is meant to be sung, where there's a lot of confusion is not with just myself, but when people write for music and it shouldn't be sung, then it's a nightmare for the composer. So it's really that collaboration as well as hearing your work that's really special. Because when you and the composer are in the right intention, write 2, 3, 4 syllables, a bar of music, it's extraordinary. And to hear an opera singer sing your work, to take it out of the realm that you're used to, it's incredibly uplifting. Some of the examples that I have changed within a collaboration with a composer would be as simple as this vowel is not working with that consonant. That happens a lot. Do you really need words here? I feel that I can cover the same ground with the music, and where I end up when the words come in next, that it may even be more powerful rather than running the words through this musical sequence. Less is more, as always, with language and music. Often it's really that. It's clarity, intention, necessity. Those are the times when I'm changing. But often it's this word, I can't get this word around my tongue. This is going to be really hard for this soprano to be clear. One of the things that I will not work with a composer unless I get 100% comprehension on words, I just won't. So it's easier for them to get comprehension when there's less language to deal with. And that means it puts a lot of pressure on me to really find the right words that one can sing properly. But really, it's often about vowels and consonants. You know what, Tom? I can't say this. I can't, you know, I don't need to repeat these words. I can do that in the music. The first five words are perfect. I don't need 12. And then I will go, well, then let me change the first five words to really work even better because they were there for as a prelude for the next seven. So I'll wipe out the whole line and rewrite it with less words but retain the same intention. If someone says, I love you, that's clear. That's an intention, depending on why they're saying it. It's easier for characters to sing their intention as opposed to the librettist. I want the composer and the librettist to get out of my way as an audience member. And the more that they're into character, the more they're masked for true drama. If the composer and the librettist are out front, then I don't give a shit. I need to know about the pain and the love and what's at stake. That's the biggest three words in opera for a librettist and a composer, in my opinion. When you're talking about an art song, again, I will go back to in the history of art song. I just really believe that it's much easier to really have a terrific collaboration in an art song when, again, when the words are really limited. It gives plenty of running room for the composer, and the intention is absolutely clear from the top. So even if the composer and the libretto or the lyricist or the poet, it should be written together. Real collaboration is sending you that poem and then working together about what's inside of it, because it was written not for music initially. And that's one thing that I would suggest, is that every one of your lyricists, that they know that there's a restriction on the number of words, and that they go out and listen to 100 art songs before they sit down and write, that they really listen to the history of them and what's going on. Because you'll find that really great collaboration in the history of art song is those words were meant to be sung. They weren't meant to be read. And that's a real litmus test. I don't write words for music unless I can sing them. I'm already finding a rhythm in words for a song. I'm already singing them right away, and the intention of the words, I can't do without the music. Often people talk about the scan and the music of Shakespeare. Well, in my opinion, every writer has their own music because they have their own scan. I don't know a writer who doesn't have inherent scan. You know, that's just part of the talent that you sort of don't learn. You got to have it. What's the most important is what's the most exciting, and that's when the words and the music and the intention are all lined up, are all lined up vertically, are all lined up right together. Let me put it this way: when the notes can't work without the words, and vice versa. At this stage, I would be very restrictive. What it does is two things. It forces the writer to really get on track fast rather than roam around. And it gives, at the same time, the composer running room. And because it's a song. I want to hear the music between the period and the capital letter of the next line. I want to hear how that composer's extending that feeling. I don't want him just him or her to chase the syllables. That's all. But restriction gives you running room. Less is more. I just believe me, after producing a hell of a lot.